talking about the sixth of the seven churches in our Conqueror series, the church in Philadelphia. I'm going to begin reading in chapter 3, verse 7 in the English Standard Version or the ESV. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, everybody say, conquer! I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let it hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is our Conquer series. And somebody tell me what the Greek word for conquer is? All right. Everybody didn't get it, but somebody got it. Sister Martha got it. You may be seated. And that's how you say it. The Greek is Nike. And in English we say Nike, and it means to subdue, either literally or figuratively, to conquer, to overcome, to prevail, to get the victory. It is the will of God and the plan of God for your life that you conquer and prevail and get the victory in every single trial and tribulation that you face. Bible says, if need be, you are in manifold trials and tribulations. Manifold means multifaceted and multicolored. It's going to come at you from every direction. But the Bible also went on to say that His grace is also multifaceted, called the manifold grace of God. There is no trial that God's favor cannot bring you through. There is no trouble that God's power cannot deliver you from. And there is nothing that you go through that God does not, even in death. And we lay on our beds and die, or wherever the situation may be that calls us home. Even in death, we go on to meet a greater reward. There is nothing that can overcome or defeat a child of the living God. In the first episode of Love Trumps Hate, we found the church in Ephesus full of good works and impeccable theology. But they were so preoccupied with their love for God and with their they were so preoccupied and so busy, they had let their love grow cold and slack. And they were struggling in bid conquering busyness and putting private time with Jesus back at the top. The church in Smyrna, the faithful few, they had to conquer their fear of death and remain faithful in spite of their sufferings. In the third episode, Live and Let Live, the church at Pergamum, they had to overcome their fear of confrontation and their comfort with sin in the church. In the fourth episode, the struggle is real. They had to conquer the Jezebel spirit. It was a stubborn spirit of sin, and the church had to learn to be just as stubborn or more stubborn as the sin was. And in our fifth episode, staying alive, the church in Sardis had to conquer the sleepy, lethargic spiritual mood that had taken hold. Boy, I'll tell you what, I got to be careful what I preach, because I think last week was one of the sleepiest, most lethargic weeks that I've had in weeks. My God, help us. Today we're going to be talking about the sixth episode and having a look at the church in Philadelphia and see what they were struggling with. And the title of the message today is Open Door Policy. For this church, I've decided to title the lesson Open Door Policy. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for what we feel in the house today. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit here, and all of the gifts come with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when the gift of the Holy Spirit is here, the potential for anything to manifest or happen is true, regardless of how sick we may be. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. And when somebody said in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, church. Hallelujah. If sickness could hold back the gifts of the Spirit, then how would anybody ever get healed?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we just need to use our logic against ourselves. And when the gift of the Holy Spirit is in the house, and when the Lord comes in the house, there is nothing that cannot happen in the presence of the Lord.
Yes,
today's message is an open door policy, and I want to start off by talking about me for a little bit. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that likes to have my keys organized on my key ring. Hallelujah. I hate carrying around a bunch of keys and having them weigh my pants down and getting in the way of everything. When I was hired at Aldi back in April of 1994, they gave me this big, fat glob of keys. And what a mess that thing was. And it was so loaded with keys. Don't you hate that when you have so many keys on your ring that you can't get anything on and you can't get... Are you one of those... Hallelujah. Come on, help us, Jesus. And the first thing I did was I asked, what are all these keys for? And the boss was like, I don't know. So over the next week or so, when I did my rounds through the store, I checked every single lock and door, and any old key that was on the ring that I couldn't find a use for, guess what I did with it? I took it off. And I wound up needing less than half the keys that were originally on the ring. And I took the most often used keys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I took the most often used keys and I put them in the most obvious places on the ring so I could walk up to the door and get in without having to fumble around on my key ring. Praise God. I could walk up to a door when I was working at Aldi and open the door and not even stop, just in motion, just walk right in. Kept them keys right there. And that's just, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that's like that. Maybe that I'm the only one that's OCD like that. How many of you would be honest to tell today that you're a fumbler?
Yep.
Hallelujah. How many of you would be honest to say that you're a fumbler? You fumble around through all your keys to find the wick, no, that's not the one. You put another one in, that's not the one. How many of you would be honest today and say you got more doodads on your key ring than you got keys? We got a fun routine at the prayer meeting every morning when we get done. We're all walking out the door together and everybody with their key rings organized already has their keys out before we can even close the door. And it's always a toss-up who is going to be the one to lock the door. There's usually three or four of us, right? And everybody's like, Hallelujah. I'm not going to take a lot of time with fun stuff today. I want to get into the Word quickly. Amen. But I wanted to just mention that to you. And I want to tell you something today. God has His own key ring as well. And He knows which key goes to which door. And He knows which doors need to be opened and which doors need to be closed. And the Bible says He opens up doors of opportunity to His disciples. And the Bible says He opens up doors of utterance to His ministers. The Bible says that He's opened up a new and a living way to go into the throne room of God and into His presence. The Bible says He's got the keys of death
and Hades. Hallelujah. And this is a quotation here from Isaiah 22, and it said in prophecy, I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And remember what he said to his disciples. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Make no mistakes, friends. If Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth, that if we are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power, and if we have been made under shepherds, then we have the keys of the kingdom as well, and we have the keys of the power and the authority of Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to tell you today, Jesus didn't come to close doors, because there's already enough of that going on in the world that we live in. The devil's busy closing people's hearts, and he's busy closing people's minds to the truth. But Jesus came to open the door of truth for all humanity. Jesus came to open our understanding so that we can understand the scriptures, and that we can understand what they teach us about salvation. And so why am I saying this? Because the church in Philadelphia was in a struggle with the local Jewish synagogue. That was the local Jewish church there in Philadelphia. How many of you know that every church in town has got Jesus as their priority? How many of you know that every church in town has got the truth as their priority? Not every church in town, no matter how much we want to be inclusive and no matter how much we want to love everybody, there are some churches that are going to be working behind the scenes against you to keep you from preaching the truth of the name of Jesus.
Come on.
We've been in outdoor concerts where when our church got done singing, that you could hear people from other churches saying, now that they're out of the way, now our church is going to get up. Now the real Pentecostals are going to sing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And it's been known to have been said. I preached at a Baptist church in here in a community service one time. And we preached just like we always do. And just speak just like what the Lord told us to say. And their pastor got up on Sunday, had to say to another church in town, how many of you enjoyed what Brother Moore said, Brother Robert had to preach? And how many of you sensed anything of a cult in him? And then they said, no, we didn't. He said, well, let's just all get along and be friends. Because people in the community don't always appreciate what God is doing through you or the truth.
Amen.
I don't know how many Bible studies I've had. People said, oh, they told me not to pay attention to you because you're going to try to brainwash me. You're going to try to tell me something that I don't need to know. Yes, I'm going to brainwash every person that sits down in a Bible study with me, because there's so much filthy behind the people in our world. Truth is, there was brainwashed when they walked into the Bible study.
That's right.
If it's in the Word, don't explain it away. And these Jews were trying to do that with the church in Philadelphia. They were trying to keep, the Bible said they kept the common people from coming close to the presence of God and blocked the way. And they even refused to enter into the presence of God and serve Him in truth themselves. But Jesus came to open up the way for everyone in the world to get to know God. He said in Luke chapter 11 verse 52, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those that were entering. And God's verdict on those Jews that were fighting against the church in Philadelphia was this. He said, they are the synagogue of Satan. I want to be plain and be bold and tell the truth. There are some churches in Wayne County in Fairfield. They may look the part, and they may claim to know the truth and have some truth, and they may have all of the things to be able to say it just right, and all of the paraphernalia adorning their churches. But there are some churches in this community that you could just simply say that is the synagogue of Satan. Because when you go in there, there's confusion. And when you go in there, there's hatred. And when you go in there, there's all sorts of turmoil. And when you go in there, the last thing you're going to feel is the Spirit of the living God. Oh, church, whatever you do, amen, whatever happens in your life, whatever anybody says or does to you, whatever you go through, don't ever let go of the joy and the love that you feel in this house today. This is what Jesus came for. To do away with hatred and to do away with all of the turmoil and fussing and to bring in everlasting righteousness and the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. Matthew 7:15 said, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And later in verse 21, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And then Paul said to the church in Rome, chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from man, but from God." Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that standing up for the name of Jesus and living a life that imitates the gracious character of God is not always going to be easy. Fighting against the kingdom of Satan and dealing with people who allow Satan to rule their lives is not always going to be easy. Most of the times, it's some of the times, and most of the time, it's just going to be downright difficult. And sometimes it's a fight just to do what we know is true and right according to the Word of God and the character of God. And so standing up to these Jewish bullies, the church in Philadelphia, it had taken its toll on their spiritual power. Acts chapter 4, verse 18, 19, and 20. "So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak, but we have seen, and what we have seen and what we have heard.'" And then in Romans 12, 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I mean, the church had been through the ringer, and it had sapped the life and the strength from them. It's not always easy standing up for what is right. It's not always easy doing what's right. You're going to be opposed on every hand. But in spite of the pressure that they were under, and in spite of the diminished level of power that they were at that time experiencing, the church in Philadelphia was still holding on to the name of Jesus. They continued to keep a close eye on the teachings of Jesus. They continued to boldly declare the name of Jesus in all things, because they understood that tribulation and trial would develop the quality of patient endurance. They were willing to go through things to have their character perfected, and they knew that every trial patiently endured would end in God's promises being fulfilled and completed. I wonder today, what could be more frustrating to the devil? What could be more damning to his vain mission than for these followers of Jesus, who are withstanding all he has to throw at them with what in the Greek is referred to as just a little power? This church was resisting and standing firm despite having their power in the Greek measured in microns The word little means in the Greek is micron. And so they only had a microscopic power. Let me tell you something, church. You don't have to give up one pinprick or one iota of your faith and trust in God. No matter how overwhelming the power of Satan or how much trouble the devil may throw at the church, it only takes a micron. It only takes a mustard seed of faith. God can take a little child and confound the wisest of scholars. He can take the weakest link in the kingdom of God and show it to be stronger than the mightiest weapon that Satan could possibly wield. And when we look at this prophecy about the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14, and the metaphors are striking in their resemblance to Satan. I know that the devil is the god of this world. I know he has power and control over the elements. We always give God credit for every bad thing that happens. And maybe God is doing some things to punish and judge the sins of our world. But the devil has power as well. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you something today. One micron of faith in God. One micron of belief in calling upon the name of Jesus is greater than the God of this world would ever be. He said in Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12, how are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Now they're talking about the king of Babylon. Doesn't that sound a lot like the devil? He said, but you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you, and they will say this: is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? That one day, church, when this battle is done, that we are going to look upon the tempter with our own eyes. We're not just going to see Jesus face to face, powerful, glorious, and mighty, but we're going to say that diminutive little creature called Satan, laying there writhing in pain and defeated, and we're going to say, is this the one that caused so much trouble? Yes. We had only seen how big God was, and we had only seen how little and powerless the devil was, we would have realized that just a little strength was all that would ever be needed to beat the devil back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God promised the church in Philadelphia that for their faithfulness, and those persnickety Jews were going to be ashamed and debased, and eventually would come and bow before them in reverence and respect and penitence. This church in Philadelphia may not stand out as the most famous or the most infamous. This church may not be renowned for its wealth or for its prominent teachers like some of the other churches will be and were. But this church does stand out in that it never ever cut any corners. It never backed down. It never gave in. It never turned a blind eye to sin. And because they were hanging in there in spite of their struggles, this church receives unmixed praise and appreciation. If you were to wander over to Turkey, modern day Turkey today, and you were to explore all of the ancient sites where all of these seven churches of Asia, I can tell you that without fail, nearly all of these churches are now nothing more than ruins, and there's not even any significant city there. No Christian believers still there today. But when you traverse and take a little saunter over to the place where ancient Philadelphia was, there's still a church there 2,000 years later. There's multiple churches there and Christians that still believe and call on the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because all they had was a little bit of strength. But it was enough for them to hold on. And the church we looked at last week had a name or a reputation, but this church was so loyal and consistent that God was going to put His name on them. Think about that. Last week, oh, I know that you've got a reputation for being alive. Oh, but Brother Shane over here, he's got a reputation of being so much like God. I'm just going to put my name on him. Hallelujah. Now that's a reputation. Because in the end, it doesn't matter how fancy your teachers teach. In the end, it doesn't matter how vibrant and exciting your services and your worship and how many laps you do and how exciting your praise is. In the end, it doesn't matter how many miracle signs and wonders that have been done by your hands in the name of Jesus. In the end, what matters is that you remain faithful to the name of Jesus throughout every breath that you breathe in this life. Because the Bible says over and over and over, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It is to the one that conquers. It is to the one that endures. It is to the one that hangs in there to the
end.
Now I'm going to go ahead and bring this message to a close today. This is a pre-vacation message. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll make it up in the next week or two. Let's all stand together. And I want to ask you a question today. How is your strength? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Do you feel faint in the face of adversity? Are you feeling too weary to go on? Have the struggles and the troublemakers just about drained your strength dry? Or are you hanging on with a dogged determination?
Yes.
Are you standing your ground no matter the consequences?
Yes.
Are you setting your face like a flint against those who want to pervert the Word of God? Are you refusing to back down from proclaiming the name of Jesus to everyone you meet? I want to tell you something today, church. This is more than an open door thing. Everybody, pay attention to me and look at me today. It's more than an open door thing. God isn't just here to give the church revival. God isn't just here to give us the opportunity to win souls and to see some miracles. I'd like to see a few miracles before this year. How many of you like to see some miracles? That's not just what He's here to do. He's not just giving us a ministry in the sense of meaning and purpose in life. I believe the church in Philadelphia understood something more. They understood that Jesus didn't just open doors, that He was the door.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He wasn't just providing opportunities. Jesus was opening up Himself to His followers for them to come to Him. And they had come to realize through their trials that no matter what people said, no matter what people did, no one could close that door of relationship with Jesus. Let's all bow our heads together today. If we could just keep constant in our minds that Jesus is the only way, that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life, that He is the door, that He is the opportunity. We could keep ourselves from being distracted and sidetracked, and from being derailed in our walk with God. We could just keep it in our minds and understand that Jesus is the door that leads to all other opportunities and not the other way around. Why does prayer bring revival? I'll tell you why. Because people are spending time going through the door, Jesus Christ. Why does prayer bring revival? And why do things happen? Why do signs follow? I'll tell you why. Because people are spending time with the greatest opportunity that they will ever have in this life. And that is taking time to be with Jesus. And if we could keep it in our minds, church, that the door is always open. The door is always open. And the door is open right now. Jesus has the keys. And the door is always open. And the door is always available to us to go through that door of opportunity. Jesus said to the church, I'm setting before you a door of opportunity. I'm setting before you an open door. You have open access to me. You can come to me anytime with anything, and I will be there for you. I wonder if there's somebody that hasn't already, before the service concludes, that hasn't already come through the door today and walked through that door and taken advantage of the opportunity that we have to be in the presence of God today. I wonder if there's somebody. You've been fumbling around. You know what we're going to learn in the church next week? Next week, the church has a door closed. You know who closed it? No. You know who closed the door in the church we're going to study next week? They did. The only door he didn't have the key to. Because you know what he was doing? His door is open. What about yours?